Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's telephone town hall. I'm Liz Berry, running for state representative in the 36th Legislative District. I'm pleased to be your moderator for tonight's event. We will be taking your questions live very soon from our panel of experts, but currently we're dialing out to thousands of people in the district so they can hear how COVID-19 is affecting our community and the resources available. We're going to get started in just a moment, but for those of you who are joining and want to ask a question, all you have to do is press 0 and the phone keypad, and you will be added into the queue. And it looks like we're going to get started. Welcome, everyone. Again, my name is Liz Berry, and I'm running for state representative in the 36th Legislative District. I'm pleased to be your moderator for tonight's event. If the devastating effects of COVID-19 has taught us anything, it's time to prioritize people. Working moms like me, workers, families, students, kids, retirees, all of my priorities have shifted to thinking about what lawmakers need to be considering to rebuild healthy communities, shore up our broken economy, and get folks back to work. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to create an economy that works for all of us. And this will be my top priority in the State House. Tonight we're discussing how COVID-19 is affecting our community. We are joined by three experts in the area of public health, housing, consumer rights, and workers' rights. We will be taking your questions live. You can press 0 at any moment to be placed in the queue to ask your question. Our first special guest is State Representative Nicole Macri, who serves as Vice Chair of the House Committee on Healthcare and Wellness. She'll be taking your questions on public health and about our government's response. Our next guest is Brendan Donkers, a local consumer rights attorney and board member of the Northwest Consumer Law Center. He'll be taking your consumer and housing questions. Lastly, Brian Tack Hooper is a partner at the Seattle law firm Terrell Marshall Law Group, which handles workers' rights issues and other cases against large companies. He'll be fielding questions for workers about unemployment insurance eligibility, workers' rights about social distancing, and how to advocate for safety in your workplace. Brendan and Ryan are not giving formal legal advice tonight, just information. So please don't give specific information about your issues because this conversation is not confidential. Again, if you have questions for the speakers, press 0 on your phone now to be added to the queue, and we'll try to take as many questions as possible. Again, my name is Liz Berry, and I'm a candidate for the State House in our district. I'm hosting tonight's telephone town hall with Nicole, Brendan, and Ryan. We're going to get started. Right before we do, we'd like to have our first poll question. We want to hear from you. So I'm going to ask, how has the coronavirus outbreak affected your life on a scale of 1 to 5? Press 1, no effect. Press 2, small effect. Press 3, moderate effect. Press 4, big effect. Press 5, severe effect. Again, how has the coronavirus outbreak affected your life on a scale of 1 to 10? 1, no effect. 2, small effect, 3, moderate effect, 4, big effect, 5, severe effect. Again, if you have a question at any time, press 0 on your keypad to get in line. Now, let's hear from State Representative Nicole Macri.
Thanks so much, Liz. It's great to be here. As you said, I'm Nicole Macri, and I represent the 43rd Legislative District, which is right next to the 36th District here in Seattle. And I wanted to give a quick update on public health and just be available to answer any legislative questions that folks have regarding COVID-19. And a quick note about me, outside of the legislature, I work as deputy director for the Downtown Emergency Service Center, which is one of our region's largest providers of shelter and housing to people who are living homeless, and also provides a full array of behavioral health service. And so in many ways, my work is really focused on being on the front lines of the kind of public health response to COVID-19 for a particularly vulnerable population in our community. And my message tonight really that I want folks to take home is that the public health interventions that we have been putting in place in Washington State and that millions of people have been following really are working. Yesterday, the governor, Governor Inslee, set out a framework for how we begin our economic recovery and the importance of looking at multiple measures. And we are doing well on many of these measures, but we have a long way to go. I think it's most important for us to take note that not only is it important that we see the number of cases and, of course, the number of deaths related to coronavirus decreasing, but that we make sure that we have the pieces in place to ensure that we can identify, track, trace, and respond to cases of COVID-19 quickly in order for us to really bring back our economy. And the governor has been leading, I think, tremendously in this regard, in part because of the great partnership that we've seen across many sectors. I want to comment in particular about the cooperation from our hospital systems across the state. I got a report from them this morning that we now have more capacity in our hospitals than at any other time really in recent history, and that is because of the diligent efforts that our hospitals put forward to be ready to take folks with coronavirus. And now, as they look to reopen their services to non-emergent surgeries and other medical interventions, they are prepared to do that while also being ready for any increased outbreaks of coronavirus that might happen. And likewise, the cooperation across branches of government, including legislative, judicial, and executive branches, legislature working closely in a bipartisan fashion with the governor's office, and across all levels of government. Our local county and city governments here in Seattle and King County have been working closely with our Department of Health at the state level and other state agencies to make sure that we have a regional response, but that it's well coordinated with the state. So we are well positioned to begin to take those very careful steps forward. It is going really to depend on a couple of things. One is getting more tests, and thankfully the federal government just announced today a huge influx of tests that they will be sending to Washington State. The availability of protective, personal protective equipment, and we are seeing supply lines open up just in the last few days that will help get us there, but we have a long way to go. And then, as I mentioned, careful contact tracing and tracking of the virus so we can respond. And we are standing up staff both at the county public health level as well as the state Department of Health level to make sure we do that. The other thing I think is important for us to all take home is that this is not a disease that impacts all people equally. And we know that there are disparities among some of our most vulnerable populations. Many of us have seen in the news that our older populations, particularly people who are living in assisted living or skilled nursing, are of course most vulnerable to this disease. But we are also, and it is important to be tracking disparities across racial and ethnic groups. And what we have, what we are seeing now is our Latinx community across the state are seeing the greatest disparities in impact. We're not exactly sure why that is, but I think you'll hear from our other panelists today the kind of work folks do and the kind of work protections they have or don't have are very relevant to who is being more likely to be exposed to the virus. I'm proud of the work that we've done in Washington to track this level of detail so we could be sure to respond in kind. And I'm sure you all have lots of questions, and so I'll turn it back over to Liz and await those questions.
Thanks, Nicole. I really appreciate that summary for us. I want to give you results from our first poll question. How has the coronavirus outbreak affected your life on a scale of 1 to 5? 37% of folks on the phone have said that coronavirus has had a big effect, 35% say a moderate effect, and 12% say a severe effect. I want to ask one more poll question before we get to our next speaker. How satisfied are you with Washington state government's response to the coronavirus outbreak? Press 1 if you're extremely dissatisfied, 2 if you're dissatisfied, 3 if you're neither satisfied nor dissatisfied, 4 if you're satisfied, and 5 if you're extremely satisfied. Again, how satisfied are you with the Washington state government's response to the coronavirus outbreak? 1, extremely satisfied. 2, extremely dissatisfied. 2, dissatisfied. 3, neither satisfied nor dissatisfied. 4, satisfied. And 5, extremely satisfied. Now I would like to turn it over to Brendan.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Liz. I am a consumer protection and civil rights lawyer here in Seattle, and I'm on the board of the Northwest Consumer Law Center and the board president of the Northwest Justice Project. And to amplify one of the points that Nicole was making about Washington State stepping up and more generally just the resources that have been marshaled to be available for folks that are impacted by COVID-19 are significant. Through kind of my experience working in the nonprofit community, I can tell you there's a lot of really important resources out there for folks. And one I want to specifically highlight to encourage some folks with legal questions to check out that isn't as well known is a website called WashingtonLawHelp.org. That's WashingtonLawHelp, all one word, .org. I can work with Liz to make sure some of the resources we talk about tonight are up on her website. I know she has some that are already there. But housing issues for folks facing kind of a sudden loss of income is a common issue that I'm seeing a lot of right now. Because a lot of the rental laws are governed by the state, our governor and legislature are empowered to deal with landlord-tenant issues. That's not the case with a lot of mortgage issues. So, just to give you an example, the moratorium that Governor Inslee has imposed on evictions that was just recently extended last week goes through June 4th. The federal government has, in its CARES Act, made available to some mortgages that are either federally backed or VA mortgages or uninsured mortgages to look at a postponement on foreclosure and possible forbearance options. But, it's important to know that neither in Washington for rental properties, if you're renting an apartment or a home, or if you're struggling with mortgage payments, do these excuse payments ever. And so what we expect are that when the moratorium in Washington is lifted and when federal government goes back into allowing foreclosures to continue, people are going to have to figure out what to do to deal with the payment issue that has been postponed but not canceled. So I'm happy to talk about that a little bit more, but that's a really important issue that seems to be getting in the crosshairs where people are thinking that moratorium or forbearance in the postponement of foreclosure means you won't have to pay ever. It's just a postponement. So I'll leave it at that for now, Liz.
Thanks, Brendan. That was really, really informative. Before we move on to our next speaker, Ryan, I want to give you guys the results of our last poll. How satisfied are you with the state's response to coronavirus? 43% are extremely satisfied and 30% are satisfied. So that's, I mean, I'm very pleased to hear that all of you think that our state government's on the right track. Before we go back to Ryan, I want to do a third poll. How satisfied are you with the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus outbreak? 1, extremely dissatisfied. Press 2 if you're dissatisfied. Press 3 if you're neither satisfied nor dissatisfied. 4 if you're satisfied. 5 if you're extremely satisfied. So that's a tongue twister, I'm just going to tell you. So how satisfied are you with the Trump administration's response to coronavirus? 1, extremely dissatisfied. 2, dissatisfied. Press 3, neither satisfied nor dissatisfied. 4, satisfied. 5, extremely satisfied. And don't forget, you can press 0 at any time on your keypad to ask a question of our experts live. And we're going to get to your questions in seriously 2 more minutes. Ryan, take it away.
Great. Hi, everyone, and thanks for having me on the call, Liz. As an advocate for workers, I want you to know 3 important things about working during this pandemic. First, you have the right to be safe at work. If your workplace is open, there are safety rules your employer has to follow, and there are legal protections if you're punished for trying to make sure your employer follows those rules. A great place to start learning about those safety rules, including the ones related to coronavirus, is the website of Washington's Department of Labor and Industries. That's lni.wa.gov. You can also report workplace safety issues to that agency. The safest way to do that is you can call them. They're 1-800-423-7233. If you call them, that gives you the option of reporting anonymously. If you do it using their website, that creates a record that's potentially subject to disclosure under public records laws. So my advice is the safest thing to do if you want to report something anonymously is give a call to that hotline number. Second, you should know that our social safety net programs in Washington are broader than ever, and people in lots of different circumstances are eligible for help, including part-time workers, people out of work to care for their kids because school is closed, and people who have to quit because their hours were cut, and others. You might not know that because of the pandemic, many more people are eligible for unemployment insurance benefits than before, including self-employed people and independent contractors. You can get information about unemployment insurance and other employee benefits like paid leave that's available for people impacted by coronavirus at Washington's Employment Security Department. Their website is esd.wa.gov. And third, you should know that this can all get a little bit complicated with different rules for different employers and different circumstances. It's not your fault if you find it a bit dizzying. Even the experts find it a bit dizzying. The rules have been updated and changed just in the last 2 months. It's genuinely complicated. So I want to give you some phone numbers and websites where you can find people that will help you sort through it. If you've been denied unemployment benefits or you need advice about whether you'd get them if you leave your job, the Unemployment Law Project is a nonprofit that helps people with those issues. They're fantastic. Their website is unemploymentlawproject.org. You can call them at 206-441-9178. And for other issues, many lawyers who represent employees offer a free consultation. They won't always be able to take your case or offer you advice, but often they can. And if they can't, they can usually point you to other resources. It is definitely worth spending some time trying to get legal advice if you've lost your job, been denied benefits, face an unsafe workplace. There are often legal options available to you. Brendan mentioned some websites and phone numbers. I'll give you 2 more. One is the King County Bar has a lawyer referral service at kcba.org or call 206-267-7010. And in King County, you can also call 211 for legal referrals for a lot of issues related to coronavirus and the pandemic. That's it for me, and I look forward to hearing your questions.
Thanks, Ryan. That was super informative. Before we get to our first question, I just want to give you the results of the last poll. How satisfied are you with the Trump administration's response to coronavirus? 67% are extremely dissatisfied and 16% are dissatisfied. So that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Now I would like to turn to our first question from Sarah Orr in Seattle. Sarah, we're going to make you live to ask your question directly, and I think it's actually a great question for Nicole. So Sarah, go ahead. Can you hear us? Sarah. Okay, looks like we're maybe having some technical issues. Sarah. Okay. Her question was, Nicole, how is the coronavirus outbreak impacting our homeless population?
Sure. Thanks for that question, Sarah. I will say that our homeless population is at great risk for exposure to COVID and for bad outcomes if they contract coronavirus. Our county government in particular has moved quickly to expand resources to people who are homeless, and in particular make sure that the idea of staying at home can be implemented in our homeless response system. We still have a huge way to go there, and in particular, I am very, very concerned about the thousands of people who remain unsheltered in our region. But for people who have the ability to get into shelter, we are seeing that those shelters have either been de-intensified or better yet, we've seen more and more shelters move into individual room settings, usually in underutilized hotels that local governments have been able to lease. I think it's important to note that the homeless population, the trajectory around COVID cases is increasing in the homeless response system and amongst people who are living unsheltered, while we're seeing cases really plateau amongst the general population. And so the local governments, our State Department of Health, and our nonprofit service providers in the region and around the state remain on very, very high alert in how they're assisting people. We have learned a lot from the long-term care system, our skilled nursing facilities, who were really on the front end of this crisis. And public health has implemented a lot of the lessons they learned in long-term care in the homeless response system, which we hope will ensure that we don't see the level of outbreaks amongst homeless people that we have seen among people in long-term care. But it's going to continue to take a lot of vigilance to make sure that's the case.
Thanks, Nicole. That was super interesting. We've now got a question. Don't forget, if you have a question at any moment, you can press 0 on your phone and be added to the queue. Please, please, please ask us your questions. We have our experts here to help with any questions you have relating to the coronavirus outbreak. Our next question is from Rachel in Ballard, and I think it's a good one for Ryan. Rachel?
Hi there. My name's Rachel. I was just wondering, do you think that Congress will extend unemployment benefits past July?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I don't know that I want to give you the my political speculation, but let me make sure everyone understands where we stand now. The normal way unemployment insurance benefits work are you get 26 weeks under the state law for when you're looking for work and out of work, and you can receive the benefits. And the federal government already passed a 13-week extension onto that. So right now you can get 39 weeks of employment benefits. And the question is, what will happen if we're still, in more or less in lockdown and shelter in place, and we reach that limit? And I think, the past is something of a guide. We have had a series of extensions to unemployment benefits when we faced these economic problems in the last decade. So there's some reason for optimism, but I think I'll probably leave my political speculation there.
Great, thanks. We have, again, if you have a question at any moment, please press zero on your phone and get connected to our experts live. Our next question is from Julia from Seattle.
Hello,
Julia, can you hear me?
Julia.
Hello. Can you ask your question?
With elderly people needing to stay at home between the ages of 60 and 90, is it a possibility to have doctors go to their homes to treat them or to call them on the phone regularly, because many of these people do not use the computer and do not have access, and because of their age or circumstance, they may not realize that they could just have the doctor call them, et cetera, things like that. Thank you.
Thanks, Julia. Nicole, sounds like a good one for you.
Yes. Both the state and federal governments have put in place opportunities to make it easier for doctors to connect with patients not face-to-face. So that included an emergency order that sped up a law that we actually passed in the legislature and the governor signed to bring some what's known as payment parity to telehealth. And that includes not only, computer interface with doctors, but also telephone interface. And the federal government, I think just today, clarified a rule that they are similarly ramping up payment for telephonic support for patients who use Medicare insurance, which obviously includes the majority of our older population across the country. So those are opportunities. In terms of dispatching providers to meet face-to-face with people, we are seeing a lot more sort of non-traditional interface for healthcare visits right now. But I will say that nearly 30% of people have put off sort of routine care. They've delayed care that they know they need. And so one of the things that we are likely to see is a great demand for medical care as we as our hospitals open back up and as we look to see our doctor's offices and clinics open back up to more routine care. But yes, I think there is, thanks to some government actions at the state and federal level, more opportunities for our older folks to be able to stay at home and get the care that they need.
Thanks, Nicole. Again, press zero at any time to ask a question of our experts. They're on standby to answer your questions now live. I've got a great one that came in from Kathleen from Magnolia. I'm going to read for her. Can I get evicted right now? And what if I get a notice that says I'm being evicted because I lost my job and can't afford the rent? Brendan, can you take this one for us?
Yeah, it's not often that there's clear black and white answers under the law to questions, but there is to this one. You absolutely cannot get evicted right now if the issue is non-payment of rent. If there are other issues, safety issues, for instance, that have been identified with the tenant or some other issue that is creating a problem for other tenants, an eviction in theory could go forward, but if there's non-payment of rent, the governor's moratorium extending to June 4th precludes landlords from seeking eviction for non-payment of rent. If you get a notice for eviction right now, there's some gray area about whether that's commencing an eviction and that's valid. So if you get an eviction notice during this period, I would call 211 if you're in King County to see about getting some help and talking to a lawyer.
Thanks, Brendan. Again, if you have a question right now, please press zero on your keypad to be connected to our experts live. Okay, our next question is from Ben from Magnolia. Ben, you're live.
Hello.
Hey, Ben.
Hi. So my question is a little broader. I know there's a lot going on right now, but given that our tax system is fundamentally based on sales tax and not other taxes that might actually fund things at the moment, I'm curious to the legislators what we're going to do about funding things like light rail to Ballard and other projects that are probably going to be impacted greatly by the COVID crisis.
Thanks, Ben, for your question. Nicole, do you mind taking a shot at that one?
Not at all. So in addition to the Healthcare Committee, I sit both on the Appropriations Committee, which is our Budget Committee, and our House Finance Committee, which is our Tax Policy Committee. You might not be surprised to learn that these committees have been members of the committees have been getting together to talk about the huge impacts to our budget that the COVID-19 crisis is having. And we are really looking right now at a strategy that gets us through this fiscal year and through to the next legislative session that could include making sure that we provide the most essential services to the people who are the most impacted. And that could be through a combination of using rainy day funds or using bonding authority in the short term to make sure that we have the resources we need. Because not only are we seeing a shortfall in revenues, but we know that our most likely taxpayers are struggling mightily. So looking at things like property tax deferrals or business and occupation tax deferrals, meaning putting off the obligation to pay tax until people are back on their feet, are options that we're looking at in the short term. So we want to make sure that we can have resources now. And then looking at how we can really transform our tax system. So that could include major reforms in business tax. It could be really, I think, a once in a generation or once in a century opportunity to look at things like reforming not only business tax, but looking at capital gains tax and other wealth-based taxes rather than our really heavy reliance on sales in particular and property tax. So conversations are very actively happening right now about all of those things. It is going to be a pretty dire budget situation. And so not only are we looking at those tax policy reforms, we are also calling on our congressional delegation and calling, on United States Congress to make sure that they are also helping state and local governments weather this situation in the short term.
Thanks, Nicole. Again, press zero at any time to ask your question live of our experts. We got a question in from Carolyn from Loyal Heights. She texted it to us today, and I think it's a good one for Ryan. Are workers allowed to leave their jobs for fear of safety and infection reasons?
Yeah, so this is a great question. The answer is yes, under the right circumstances. So generally speaking, employees who refuse to perform unsafe job duties are protected from being fired or otherwise punished for doing so. Now, but the protection only applies to certain situations, and there are steps you have to follow to make sure it applies. So if you face this, you really need to try to get legal advice for your situation. Generally, you are more likely to be protected if you ask the employer to correct the problem, ask for work that avoids the problem, and told the employer that you would leave if they don't fix it. But again, before doing any of that, I would really try to talk to a lawyer. You can do that using the bar referral service that I mentioned earlier. I'll give you that number again. It's 206-267-7010. If you do get fired for leaving an unsafe job, you can file for unemployment insurance. That's one of the circumstances that's covered in Washington for our unemployment benefits. And you can also file a challenge to the firing with the Department of Labor and Industry if you were fired for trying to avoid that unsafe condition or for speaking up about the unsafe conditions. Hopefully, I've been repetitive on this point, but I'll say it one more time. This is one of those situations that just, it depends on the facts, and you want to get it right, and so it's the sort of thing you should really talk to a lawyer about first. But it is absolutely the case that under Washington law, you are protected for leaving a job that's unsafe if you've done the right things in the right circumstances.
Thanks, Ryan. Great answer. So before we take our next question live, I want to remind everyone they can press zero at any time to be connected to ask your question. And let's ask one more final poll question. Have you lost sources of income due to the coronavirus outbreak? Press one if you have lost all of your income. Press two if you have lost some of your income. Press three if you have lost none of your income. Again, a poll question. Have you lost sources of income due to the coronavirus outbreak? Press 1 if you've lost all of your income. Press 2 if you've lost some of your income. And press 3 if you've lost none of your income. Okay, next up, again, press 0 at any time to ask your question. And now we have Nolan from Seattle. Nolan, can you hear me?
Hey, yeah.
Hi there. What's your question?
Hey, I wanted to ask the candidate, you know, for the past 2 months, a lot of these mom-and-pop shops have been not able to perform business while giants like Amazon have been raking in record profits. I'm wondering from sort of a financial perspective, how, if there's any planning in place to sort of level the playing field for the economy as we come out of this.
Great. Thanks for your question, Nolan. I wanted to kind of turn this over to Nicole. My understanding, Nicole, and tell me if you're right, that the next round of federal funding coming from Washington, D.C. might have some funding for local and state governments to use, and they might be able to use some of that money for small businesses. Nicole, do you know anything about that? Can you speak to that at all?
A little bit. So the package that Congress just passed included an increase in small business loans, including some loans which are forgivable if they're used for bolstering payroll to keep workers on the job. The next package, there is a lot of advocacy still happening, and there is tremendous advocacy happening and strong support from Democrats in the House for substantial dollars that could be directed to state and local governments that then could be used for a full array of activities to strengthen the recovery. That could include small business grants and loans. It could include things like rental assistance or utility assistance to ensure housing stability for folks. So it's not yet finalized, but there is a lot of advocacy happening. Our Department of Commerce just sent a letter to our congressional delegation asking for support for commercial rent assistance and small business loans and other supports. We know that the recovery is going to depend on bringing our small businesses back, and we know that Nolan, to your point around leveling the playing field, that looking at our tax structure in Washington State is going to have to be a part of that conversation about how we level the field for businesses.
Thanks, Nicole. I want to give us the poll results from our last poll. Have you lost sources of income due to the coronavirus outbreak? 71% say none, and 29% say they've lost some income. It's very interesting. So we're just at about 45 minutes. I think we're going to be wrapping up. Nicole, Brendan, Ryan, do any of you have any final thoughts to share? Okay. Well, again, this is Liz. Oh, sorry, Nicole.
Well, I just want to make sure that folks know one thing that I think is important. I want to underscore the two websites that Ryan and Brendan talked about. I get a lot of calls from constituents, particularly recently in navigating around job employment issues, including unemployment issues, and issues around housing security. And the WALAHelp.org and the UnemploymentLawProject.org, both of those websites are websites that we use routinely, like daily in our office, to help constituents navigate. So I fully endorse those and want to commend you, Liz, because your campaign website, LizBerry.com, has a tremendous array of COVID-specific resources that people can use. But one issue that comes up a lot that I hear is people ask, well, if I feel like I have symptoms of coronavirus, how can I get tested? Testing remains a challenge because we still have a shortage, even though we're seeing increases happening. The number one way to go is to call your doctor, but many people don't have their own healthcare provider. And if they don't, they can call King County's COVID-19 call center, and they can then be directed to a place that has testing available for the community. And I will give you the phone number for that COVID-19 call center. It is open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. And so if you have a COVID-19 question, you have concerns about symptoms you have, or someone in your household or colleagues have, friends, family members, you can call this number. It's 206-477-3977. That's 206-477-3977, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. So I just wanted to make sure people had that resource as well.
Wonderful. Thanks, Nicole. Ryan or Brendan, anything else before we wrap up?
Sure. This is Ryan. I'll just say one quick thing about workplace safety, which is that if you're someone who is still working, you should consider whether you are the right person at your job to fight for safer standards. You might work with people who are undocumented or people who are otherwise more vulnerable than you, who have greater fears about speaking up. And so if you're the person who can speak up and say, hey, this thing needs to change, or we're not distancing these people enough, or these people aren't having the opportunity to wash their hands, just take a moment of reflection because your coworkers may not be in the same position that you are. And if everybody who is in a more privileged position can fight for better workplace safety in their workplaces, we'll all be a lot better off.
Thanks, Brian. I love that. Anything else? Well, again, this is Liz Berry, candidate for the State House in the 36th District, and I had such a great time tonight. I learned a lot. I want to thank Nicole, Brendan, and Ryan again for their time. There were so many great questions, and there were many questions that we did not have time to get to, but we want to hear from you. So please stay on the line after the event, and you'll be able to record a message for us. Thank you again for joining us. Be well, stay safe. We're all in this together. Have a great night.